Hey, I'm Jacob Lewis. Before we get started, I just wanted to point out that this is part three of a three-part series. If you haven't heard parts one and two, I recommend you go back and give them a listen. All right, here is a recap of what's happened so far. On the evening of January 20th, 2017, Matt Lovell was sitting in his car in East Nashville.
Heard a tap on my window, and of course that was the gunman, and you can kind of figure out what happened from there.
He was shot in the chest and ran to the steps of a nearby bar for help. He was rushed to the hospital and then survived 8 hours of surgery. The near-death experience had a sobering effect. It gave Matt a profound new sense of freedom. But it also was very traumatic.
PTSD doesn't show up with a name tag.
But this episode starts with something completely different. Something I did not see coming at all.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
This is Jody Hayes. She's an artist with jet black hair. She lets me in off her front porch. Inside, there's a large collection of houseplants and artwork hanging up everywhere. Some famous works, some by her friends. Her children have drawings up, and others were made by her. Jody makes abstract work, mostly of structures and landscapes. She can't help but paint.
I paint to be a part of the world and to process the world. It's the way I see things. I can explain it. It's kind of magic, and I like to do it.
Somebody pitched me a story on an art show Jody was getting ready for. It was going to showcase the buildings and people from her neighborhood. She was going to have this show in a gallery close to her house and invite her neighbors. It seemed like a good fit for the show. So I agreed to meet her at her house. That is all I knew walking into this interview. Jody takes me back to her studio. It's a two-car garage behind her house. There's stacks of paper everywhere, and it smells like that room in art museums where kids can do crafts.
What is your hope? Like, what do you hope your work does?
It's probably a hope that's outside of my own work. It's probably just like, can't we all be neighbors? Can't we be neighborly? Can't we? I mean, I know that's also your thing, okay. but I do. I mean.
As our conversation went on, I asked to see some of this art. That's when I noticed a group of large paintings. Propped up on the floor was a triptych, three canvases all depicting one scene. It was painted exclusively in different shades of red, with an almost faded quality, like it had been sitting out in the sun. Together, the works depicted a front porch, Jody's front porch. It was painted as if you were standing on the porch looking out toward the street. It was a rather mundane and ordinary scene, but I couldn't help but be drawn to it. I first looked at the left canvas. There was an American flag hanging vertically from the roof. In the right one, a porch light shone on a chair. In the middle, there were blotches of white that looked like they might be the headlights of a car. There was a railing that spanned across all three. I asked her about it. She took in a deep breath and then started into a story. Earlier that year, someone got shot across the street from her house. The security camera from her porch caught it all on tape. This painting was of a still of that security footage. It's from the exact moment a teenager shot a man in the chest.
I could tell that you paused and there were like wheels turning.
And that's when she said that guy's name was Matt Lovell.
My name is Matt Lovell. I'm going to live. My name is Matt Lovell. I'm going to live.
Are you feeling like a little magic now? Are you like, this is all connected? Like, it's all so weird.
I'm Jacob Lewis, and from Nashville Public Radio, you're listening to Neighbors, a show about what connects us. Today, we see just what happens when we have our eyes opened to the place where we live. We might see wonderful sights and horrific ones, but what we create from those experiences just might have an unexpected impact on the world around us. Today, Matt Got Shot, Part 3, or The Fabric We're All In. After seeing those paintings in her studio, I interviewed Jody a lot. I thought it was just too weird that the universe brought us together like this. This is the third time I've been over to her house. We're sitting in her dining room. There's a bowl of almonds on the table. She gives me coffee in a Christmas mug and ice water in a mason jar.
Well, I think I want to start with, like, just you. Like, you've mentioned several times...
It's becoming so uncomfortable for me.
Yeah?
If you didn't hear that, Jody said... This is becoming so uncomfortable for me.
I mean, you know, like... I don't want to push you to go anywhere that you don't want to go. So
no, I just am like very aware that, and maybe this is just like moving your work in general into the public. Mm-hmm. Your work is one thing, but I'm not a musician and I'm not someone who like is a person performing my work. Right. So this just feels really weird. Yeah. Like I am not my work.
A little background. Jody grew up in the Ozarks. She has a permanent bridge replacing one of her front teeth. She refers to herself as a toothless girl from Arkansas. She says her level of art exposure was limited to the likes of Bob Ross.
There weren't like professors I was around or people talking about the history of painting. I went to my first legit museum when I was a senior in high school. My kids have been to like a gajillion.
She left her home in the Ozarks and went to art school in New York. There, she started to take photographs and paint based off of those pictures. Things like the scene from an airplane window on the runway. You could just look at it and see what it was immediately. But as her art evolved, she became more and more abstract. It was up to you to say what these shapes, lines, and colors were. For years, that was true. But this show she was working on, it started to go back to painting from photographs. And those photos, they hit close to home. Like, people could see them and be like, hey, isn't that so-and-so's house on such-and-such street? Or isn't that Lois?
Would you say that you're afraid of being seen as a voyeur in this kind of art context?
I'm afraid of being seen as a creepy voyeur. Like, and I think an observer is like a less creepy version.
So would this bring her neighbors all closer together or just weird them out? Or even worse to her, would it even matter at all? Like, can art affect the real world? Jody has made dozens of paintings of two older women that she's dubbed the Sister Walkers. She sees them walking by her house almost every day. In a changing neighborhood, they have always been a constant. And they are, in fact, sisters. They wear horizontally striped t-shirts, and one lags a little further behind the other. They've lived in this part of town pretty much their entire lives. But, unbeknownst to them, Jody was taking pictures of them and then painting based off of those pictures. In fact, she would often post the shots on social media, hashtag sisterwalkers. Eventually, people started sending in their own pics of the sisters.
I mean, Instagram and the sisterwalkers hashtag was interesting for people because it became a way to recognize a constant in the neighborhood and to kind of be for our neighborhood.
But here's where this kind of turns a little bit. You heard Jody say at the beginning that she is not her work. She's always tried to maintain a distance, but that was changing. For the first time, her ideas, her opinions, her outrage were making their way onto the canvas. For instance, she was radically shaken by the shooting of Philando Castile. She was disappointed and angry by the election of Donald Trump. A neighborhood a mile away from Jody is having the highest murder rate it's seen in 25 years. In a nuanced and subtle way, these things were making their way into her art.
As a painter, how do we walk out those like very personal, political life things? Like we have to weigh in on things occasionally as artists. I wonder why our legislators aren't like doing something about gun control and like sensible legislation. Like all of these things I think about in my quote unquote real life. But then I've also always made like difficult abstract paintings. So how do you marry those two?
She was already making her work pretty much exclusively in the color red. This was to call to mind many elements at once. The red of Jesus' words in certain Bibles, a state of emergency, blood, and one of her big concerns, gun violence.
I was inside reading, and Cleo, our daughter, was asleep upstairs already.
Jody's standing on her front porch next to her security camera. She's telling me about the night Matt was shot in front of her house. It was January 20th, 2017.
It was Inauguration Day. We'd put up the flag. And I heard, must have heard the pop and then a sound of his scream. Now I know it was his scream.
She walked into the other room to see if her husband Felix had heard anything. He had fallen asleep watching the movie Zootopia with the kids. Jody asked him if that noise was from the TV. He said he didn't know. So Jody called her neighbor. They said they definitely heard something.
At that point, Felix is up, and we were just kind of watching to see if the police would come or just kind of if it was anything.
They did show up. Jody's husband, Felix, remembered their security camera. They showed the footage to the police on their computer. And after they left, Jody was still staring at the screen. At this point, Matt Lovell was being rushed to the hospital and starting what would become an 8-hour surgery. Jody sat with her body fully intact at home, processing how this affected her and her family. Everything that she'd been thinking about, politics, gun violence, her neighborhood, they were all right there on the screen at once.
I looked at my husband and I said, I have to paint this. Like, just the way the flag framed the experience and just knowing that Felix and I were super ambivalent and we were not ambivalent. We were mad about who was inaugurated that day and that all of it, just the way that all of those things framed this really intense experience.
This footage brought up a lot of tension in Jody. As an artist, she wanted to paint it. It made a lot of sense. But as a citizen of the neighborhood, that was different. For instance, she had mixed feelings when she gave the footage to a neighbor who worked for the TV news.
Through this, like, not thought out and not well done way, gets, like, then broadcast over the news. And then we feel complicit and awful about how our information was then used to, like, to show someone's trauma.
Seeing this very fresh and graphic incident on the news, it felt cheap. But even though it was sensitive, she couldn't shake the impulse to paint it. So in her own style, she forged ahead. She took a screenshot of the exact moment the gun went off, painted a small version of it, all in red. In it, you can't really see any human figures, just a few small white spots. Those are the headlights of Matt's car and the flash of the gun. She took the small version and used it to make a giant triptych. That's what I saw when I came over. But she felt like she had to show Matt, like this wasn't just her story to tell. She didn't know him, but they did have friends in common. So she reached out. I asked if I could be there when they met for the first time. But Matt wanted it to be in private. Just him, Jody, and a mutual friend. Was Matt happy or horrified? Does Jody's art make a difference? Does it even matter at all? After the break, we'll see just how Matt reacted to seeing Jody's painting and learn how this all fits together. Stay tuned to hear the final conclusion to Matt Got Shot. Hey, so at Nashville Public Radio, we've been busy cranking out a lot of new podcasts. I want to let you know about one that is on its brand new second season, that is Versify. They take a storyteller, sit them down with a poet, and their conversation is recorded. And that's when the magic happens. The poet goes off and writes a poem about the person's story, then comes back and shares it. It's great storytelling mixed with great poetry. Season 2 is all about moments of impact. Subscribe now to Versify at podcasts.wpln.org or wherever you get your shows.
Something.
On a sunny day, when Jody was in the throes of getting ready for our art show, Matt Lovell showed up to her studio with some flowers.
I'm so excited for your show. I've been following it online and seeing it come together. It's been, like, so much fun to watch.
That's great.
Let's get out this triptych.
Okay.
Cool. Take a look at it.
It looks different than when...
Yeah,
you were here. I think
this is the second time Matt has been by to see this work, and Jody points out that it's changed quite a bit since then.
I don't know if, subconsciously, I was like holding it at bay until you came in and kind of saw it and kind of like gave me your take on it or your not just I don't know. I don't know what, but
were you about to say a blessing?
Yeah, I stopped short of that. I don't know why, but 2 or 3 days after you, we met in here with Jude is when I started just like messing with it or had the freedom to feel like it was like a story that didn't have to be about a security camera and images of you.
Matt stepped back and took in the changes to the work. Jody had added other elements on top of the porch scene. She said that she no longer thought of it as a triptych, but three separate paintings. The left one, which had the American flag, she named Evening. It now had what looked like a long black shadow behind the flag. and she painted festive party pennants, like the kinds you see at Mexican restaurants or a car dealership. Those were hanging from the ceiling. Jody said that often her porch is a place for people to gather and have fun. She has happy hours out there with her friends. The flags point out this eerie juxtaposition between someone getting shot, feelings about politics, and the place where she usually just had a good time. The middle one, she called Vista B, as in the word B-E, to be. She's overlaid an old sign from the neighborhood that says beer sale. Only the word beer is split in two, so the first thing you read is the word B, pointing to presence and existence. Life, even. But as Matt looked at it, he had another thought.
It is funny that you put beer sale there, because there was the rumor about the thing that I did not say, which was, I've been shot, give me a beer.
Remember that little nugget on the nightly news?
Get me a beer, I've been shot.
The far right one is called light, with the word porch in parentheses. It's the most abstract to my untrained eye. It has a horizontal line of green, and there are yellow rays spreading from what was actually the porch light. On the bottom is this overlay of squares. She named it light because of the porch light, but there was another reason. During the solar eclipse in 2017, Nashville was in the path of totality. It was a big deal around here. On eclipse day, Matt played a show, and Jody went.
He played the song called Sunlight.
A song he wrote after the shooting.
I am only sunlight, and I'm looking for a similar light to shine.
So what did Matt think of the work?
My dad actually told me he doesn't want to see it because, like, it's just the footage. And he saw the footage and, like, he threw the remote at the TV when he saw it because he was so upset. But I think you captured it in such a lovely way. You can see the light in it, you know?
And you're gonna be the day.
Jody had painted this scene and felt like it wasn't her own. But after showing Matt, she reclaimed it. This weird mix of her own views, abstract art, and a terrifying story. And now she was about to bear it all to the world. Not just these three paintings, but all the work that in some way has someone else's story associated with it, like the Sister Walkers. The question was, would other people feel like Matt and be grateful? Or would they feel intruded upon? Would they feel honored or used?
All right, it's the day of the art show. I am curious to see what the neighbors think.
It's evening, and I'm getting out of my car outside of the Red Arrow Gallery. It's about a half mile from Jody's house. That name, the Red Arrow Gallery, it's a little eerie. The red door was where Matt collapsed asking for help. And inside the Red Arrow Gallery, right now, are a bunch of red paintings. But as I got closer to the building, it looked mostly black.
It looks a little dark, like maybe the power's out or something.
I go inside and everyone's walking around looking at art hung on white walls, using the flashlights on their phones. There's a good turnout. And I see Jody standing in the middle of the room talking to someone.
Good. It's also like the first...
Hey,
how are you?
Good. What's the deal here?
NES cut out the power, so we just got LED flashlights or some over there.
I'm not entirely sure why, but the electric company killed power to an area of the street. Looks like they were doing some work on a transformer or something. Despite this, Jody was in positive spirits and made for a more intimate and neighborly feel. Her red canvases and papers were up everywhere. I walked around, talked to a few attendees, grabbed some wine, and then Jody suddenly got my attention.
Oh my gosh, we have to go talk to the sisters.
Oh, they're here?
They're here, yeah.
Where?
I think they're looking.
Jody had written postcard invitations to the Sister Walkers. Their real names are Barbara and Lois Powers. She actually ran after them down the street in front of her house to give them these invites. And there they were, just casually looking at Jody's art.
I'm so glad they're actually here.
It was a moment, just like with Matt, to find out what they really think about being painted. Jody goes into a small room where they are, lots of little red prints tacked up everywhere on the walls. With a glass of wine in one hand and a little flashlight in another, Jody breaks the ice with the sisters.
Do you realize that you're kind of celebrities in my world?
We are?
Yes, this is you. That's you. That's you.
That's so neat.
That's so neat, she said. Barbara and Lois seem amused.
Well, which one I like the best in? Let me see.
Yes. How do you feel?
Well, I don't have a bad hair day in any of them.
Lois just said she doesn't have a bad hair day in any of them, as if she approves. But Barbara is still processing it all.
Now, we didn't know she was doing pictures.
Well, and I only do the pictures so that I can paint from them. I know it has the potential to seem creepy, but I hope I don't have a creepy bone in my body.
Emboldened by the sisters' presence, Jody went out on a limb and asked a question she's been wanting to ask them for a very long time.
Can I walk your route with you someday?
Sure, anytime.
Just like that. They tell Jody their address, give them their phone number.
Just give us a ring. 615.
It was a moment where this abstract art show transformed into a hyper-local interactive experience. Jody and the sisters were just neighbors, making a connection.
My cup runneth over. That's all I need.
They like really like it. Like they feel very like matter of fact about it and honored.
Oh, that's it. Could have gone either way.
Her cup runneth over. The sisters loved it, and it seemed like Matt appreciated the work too. But Jody was still worried that it would ultimately be different with him, as if where she was with her work and where Matt was with his recovery weren't in very good sync with one another. Like her obsession with that security footage would cause more harm than good. He was, in fact, still dealing with the trauma. But back when he was standing in her studio in front of those canvases covered in red, he had this to say.
It's like a memorial, and it's, I don't know, Jody. I feel so much gratitude for this, and like, because I remember you wanted to be kind of delicate about it. Like, do you think this would be okay for Matt to see, especially after the footage and all? And I was like, absolutely. And I remember even before seeing it, I was just like, I just felt so much love, like to know that you had done this, and not to make it all about me, because you know it's, again, all about the fabric that we're all in, you know?
The fabric we're all in. Matt got shot. It was in front of Jody's house. The sisters walk by it almost every day. Jody has happy hours there. The principal of her kid's school lives across the street. There's a painting of his house, too. I also live in Nashville. I told a friend about Matt. He told me he knew a guy who saw the person who shot Matt right before it happened. Like they were going to mess with him, thought better of it, and minutes later, Matt got shot. I want to end with this final thought. I have identified a lot with Jody. Is my persistence on telling Matt's story going to do more harm than good? Can Matt even listen to this? I don't know. But I do know that Jody's art helped Matt. It was healing rather than divisive. Maybe a bit strange and a bit vulnerable, but someone else was dealing with this whole getting shot thing too. He wasn't alone. Jody has kids. It happened in front of her house. It was her trauma too. And through her creative process, she unburdened him in a way. He's now come to think that getting shot is not exclusively about him, but rather part of the fabric we're all in.
Nobody cries.
Neighbors is from Nashville Public Radio and produced by me, Jacob Lewis. To see photos of Jody's three paintings, visit neighborspodcast.com. If you like the show, I have two requests. The first, talk about it to anyone, your friends, both online and in real life, and I stress the in real life part. Also, go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. Here's a cool thing. If you want a postcard handwritten by me, follow me on Twitter at NeighborsNash and DM me your address. I will personally write you a postcard that is designed by my friend Beth Matthews, who, if you remember the episode The Fence Jumper, that's her. The show is edited by Emily Siner, Mac Linebaugh, and Anita Bug, with special help from Tony Gonzalez and production assistance from Caleb Shiver. Music in this episode is by Poddington Bear and, of course, Matt Lovell. You hear him? There he is. Neighbors is a member of the podcast collective The Herd. Producers involved include Vanessa Lowe, amazing, Jonathan Hirsch, Marlo Mack, Rob McGinley Myers, Sarah Brooke Curtis, and Erica Heilman. You can find out more at theherdradio.com. Whew, that was a lot. Well, as always, I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors. Love puts the cover in. Hey, Jacob here with another podcast recommendation. It's called Human Nature out of Wyoming Public Radio. Their logo is this hand-drawn buffalo that's pretty sweet. This show is all about stories where humans and our habitat meet. As we all become more disconnected from the natural world, Human Nature helps you, the listener, reflect on what's lost and gained in that transaction. Check out Human Nature wherever you get your shows.